All right. Even though it's Easter today, I know some of you didn't expect we'll have church for pros. We were expecting that we'll finish early and go and jolly. Okay. I'm very grateful to God for the law that we are going to be teaching today. Hello. Amen. So, each service, we take one law, and we've been on the irrefutable laws of what? World. Somebody say the irrefutable laws of world. God's wisdom edition. So you notice that most of the scriptures we are using is from Proverbs, the wisdom of God. How God designed that we can create wealth, multiply wealth, manage wealth. Somebody say big amen. We are learning it God's way. There is man's wisdom and there is God's wisdom. And we have done the first law, the law of purpose and what? Intention. The second law, the law of financial wisdom and financial intelligence. The third law, the law of financial vision and financial planning. Is that right? The fourth law, the law of income enhancement and multiple. So after all the preparation, you now have to get to work, use all the planning and everything, execute, execute, execute. Somebody say execute. All the preparation, all the wisdom, all the intelligence is useless if you don't diligently put them to work and consistently stay on it until it begins to produce the results it should. Praise the Lord. And then we did the fifth law, the law of what? Financial grace and the blessing. That whatever you're doing, whatever work you're doing, it's important that the blessing is on it. Because that amplifies your results beyond natural limitations. The best of man's hard work has a limit. There is something that advantage, that leading edge that the grace of God brings. Somebody say, I hear. And then we talked about number six law, which we did the last time. The law of financial what? Stewardship and financial management. You have to faithfully manage what you have and what you've been given. And manage money to achieve your financial goals and set objectives. All right. Today, we will do one law. Today, we will do one law. And that's the law of financial frugality and savings. The law of financial frugality. In fact, add an habitual savings. The law of financial frugality and habitual savings. I would like us to read Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 6 to 8. Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 6 to 8. I would like you to hold your neighbor. If I don't hold your neighbor, please. Your neighbor is not a sluggard. Let me just read it. Amen. Go to the ant, you sluggard. So he's not talking to us. We are not the sluggard. But we are the wise. We should collect the other one. Consider her ways and what? Be wise. And be what? So there is something that when you go to the ant, you're going to learn. Verse 7. Which having no captain, overseer or ruler. That's when you know you're ready for wealth. There is a discipline for creating wealth. Where nobody is commanding you, nobody is instructing you, Nobody is overseeing you. You're mature. You're responsible. You're beginning to make money. By the law of stewardship, you know that money is not really your money. You're just what? A steward. And you have to manage it well. But you're given the right to manage it the way you want. It's your responsibility. Nobody, the discipline to keep to your budget and to do the right thing. That's where wealth creation begins. In another dimension. You've earned money. People don't get wealthy because they earn a lot. I told you when we talked about stewardship, I said there are a whole lot of people I know that earn over 200,000, over 300,000, over 400,000. I'm not even talking about the bigger size. Just if you can earn over 200 to 400,000 naira a month, there is no reason in 3 years at least, and at most in 5 years, you will not be a mega millionaire. I said a mega millionaire. A millionaire in hundreds of millions. Even if it is the lower side of millionaire, tens of millions, you are going to be talking about over 50, 60 million. That you will be what you're worth. Your asset base should be that. If you can make 200 to 400,000 every month. And there are many people who are making it. Being rich begins with earning in terms of execution, okay? Not in terms of preparation, in terms of execution. But being wealthy begins with stewardship. What you do with what you earn, how you handle what you earn, that's what distinguishes and separates the boys from the men, or the men from the boys. That's how it works. So he said, these ants, they have no captain, they have no overseer, they have no ruler. I had somebody I'm mentoring, and the person said, "Pastor, please, if you can just help me. If you can help me, I need to really, really, this thing, eh? If somebody, if I can carry my money and give to somebody to keep for me." And I laughed. I said, it may work for a while, but it will not work for too long. I said, that means you won't be wealthy in life. What it takes to be wealthy, you can't outsource. You can leverage, but you can't outsource it. It must stem from personal discipline. That's how people have saved up money, invested, put things in certain things. Only then will still go there and eat down that investment. They will keep going there to draw from it and draw from it until the well dries up. Wave your hands if you're getting what I'm saying. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So these guys are so disciplined, they don't need anybody to tell them what to do or to show them what to do. Look at verse 8. Everybody read verse 8 and read out loud. One to go. Provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Give me the GNT of it so that you, let's see your, some other translations of verse 8. Verse 8. But they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for winter. There are different seasons in every man's life. They store up their what? Food in the summer, getting ready for winter. So what is the What is the wisdom here? The wisdom is that there is time to walk and get the best of your harvest. For example, if you're here listening to me and you're a young person, you're a middle-aged person, you're blessed. You can still create wealth and you can still, there are no limits. Even as an old person. But it is the exception, not the rule. There are only very few people at old age who do that. The older, by the time people are hitting 60, 70, the 80, it's still possible. We've seen the story of Colonel Sanders, and there are so many of them who at that age, by the time they got, in fact, some people will tell you that they didn't make their first million until they crossed 50 years. So the older, you can actually use your wisdom and shorten the process, because now you should be wiser. You should be wiser. It doesn't necessarily mean you're wiser. But if you're young, you have one thing on your side: time, energy. You have time to be more curious. You have time to be more adventurous. You have time to be more fearless than the person who is much older. So you have a whole lot on your side. There is time. Jesus speaks in his word about, I will walk while it is what? Day. Because the night cometh when no one. So you've got to understand the seasons of your life. Not waste your summer. Not waste your harvest time. That's the time to walk the most. You have the most energy. You have the most opportunity. For example, if you are single, you also have an advantage too. Because now you are not thinking about a whole lot of immediate family of your own. But even there are people that are single that are carrying more than those who are married. Because their whole village is on their head. Their father, their mother, their siblings, they are training everybody. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So there are things. But hear me. The secret is to start your walk on time, in time of harvest. Because harvest time, let me hear me. Harvest time is the time you make the most results. You have the most result with least effort. For example, illustration, there are planting seasons and harvest seasons for every crop. When it is time, for example, I always use corn or maize to plant maize, and it is harvest season for that maize, is between a particular period of the year, a few months. If, let's say, when you start planting maize, you can start planting as early as February, right? March, depending on your climatic condition. There are places, tropical rain places like Port Harcourt, Uyo, and all those places. The rains all through. So you, from January, they can be planting corn. Is that right? Now, watch that. But let's use where we are. Let me just estimate that this thing is going to happen between March, that's the season, to September. Imagine somebody waking up in the morning in March and say, I'm thinking of having a corn plantation. In June, I don't know if I should start. In September, oh God, I believe you for my corn plantation. Then in November, I'm now ready to plant. You see, he got ready when the season has moved. Now, it's still possible, because I'm a no-limit man. It's still possible for him to plant in November. But in November, he will now need to make more effort. He has to get biotechnological modified seeds that have been modified. Go and check how much it takes in research and bioengineering to be able to modify those seeds to be able to withstand that kind of climate in November. How many millions of dollars we have to go into that research? He has to go and get that kind of seed. That's number one. Number two, he has to now start working on artificial irrigation. What God gave him for free from the sky. He has to now spend more millions. He's leveraging, but he's going to get results, but he will put in more effort. But if he had done that thing in the season, all he has to do is just till the ground. Put the seed, go and sleep. The sun will shine, rain will come, and he will have a bountiful harvest. So when you see more effort going into things, it's because people have missed the season. Give God praise if you understood it. Whenever you do things when it's in season, you get the best result with the least effort. You get the best result with the least effort. So don't wake up late. Don't wake up late. Wake up early. They store up their food during what? Summer. Summer means harvest time. Getting ready for winter. The second thing you notice there is they get their food, but they store up. They don't finish eating it in summer. Is they don't eat everything they get in summer. They save and store up for winter because they are expecting there is going to be winter. They know there is going to be another season. But a whole lot of people live up their lives. Once they start making money and start earning money, they just live up and live up and live up their lives, forgetting that there is going to be another season. They forget. So write this down. Walk early. Save wisely, and you won't beg in winter. Walk early, save wisely, and you won't beg in winter. So, what's winter season? Winter season serves first as old age season. There will be old age. That's one. Winter season also can stand for unforeseen trials. Days of unforeseen trials. I heard the story of a young man that was earning about 700 to 800,000. And was living it up. He wasn't so rich, but he was very comfortable. Every month. And living it up. Always, every weekend, hanging out with friends. Calculate how much. Imagine if the person spends within 20 to 50,000 every weekend. So let's use an average of, say, 35,000. 35,000 times 52. Those of you that are very good, or get me your calculator. Let's make this practical. 5,000 times 52 is what? Huh? One what? 1,820,000 times 3. Now, 5 million. So let's say 5.5 million. Go and check for the least investment that man would have made, which he would have, let's say, a mutual fund that would have given him between 20 to 22% annual interest. Go and check how much would have happened to that money in 5 years if he has not touched it, compounding the interest in 5 years. And in 5 years, I'm talking about just 3 years' savings of what he's spending every weekend. And in 5 years, something happened to that particular job, and he's job hunting. And in job hunting, in 1 year, 2 years, nothing really serious came out. He moves from here to here, moves from here to here, and he becomes a shadow of the person he used to be. Standard of living, bam. He's now the one begging and borrowing money. Begging for money and borrowing money. What's that? He forgot that there'll be winter season. That's one thing you should be very sure in life. He forgot. He forgot that at the age of 70, at the age of 80, with all that's happening in life, it won't be as if when he was in 20s and 30s. They forget. And so people just live up their lives and they vow things that should be stored up for winter. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Say, I hear. Come on, say, I hear. Winter season also is a period of unusual pressure that comes from bigger projects. You know, you're making money and you're living your normal life. Then suddenly there is a vision you have. There is a project you need to execute. I saw a man who told me, I had a discussion with him, and he said within a period of his life, he made the decision that he was going to build at least one house every year. Because he was in a harvest season. He was put in a position where he had access. People were doing everything, favors for different things, so he can just his signature alone. So it was a harvest season. And he called his family and said, this thing will not last forever. He said, so we are not, he told me, he said, Pastor, there were times that every day in our house, I'll just go buy yams, yam, yam, big man, yam. Is oil and this every day. That's what, or you drink garri. He said, because I needed to execute that thing fast. He was driving small car, very, or you know, those kinds of starlet, golf, small car, within those periods. And he told me, Pastor, we're able to do it. He said, Pastor, I have over 15 buildings right now. And he built all those buildings living in an apartment that the government gave them in an envelope, a bungalow of 3 rooms. Of 3 rooms. And didn't build his own house first. Stayed in that place, built all those things, put them all out before. When he now, by the time it was the interest and the profits from most some of his properties that he now used to build his own duplex. He had duplexes he was renting, but wasn't living in one. The day he was now opening his duplex, he bought an SUV and another Toyota sedan car. 2 cars on the same day. Furnished the whole house, but he didn't have to spend for it because they all came from profit from investment. Kai Akonuche. Wisdom. These are the conversations I have that made me wiser. You have not started life. You don't have any investments. You carry 80 million that would have done so much for you to go and build a house so that you go and show everybody that you live in your own house. I pray you understand what I mean. There are buildings that are liabilities and there are buildings that are assets. You must differentiate between the two. I'll give you another story. A friend came to visit his friend in Lagos. And when he went to visit his friend, he saw the friend living in the mainland. A very decent neighborhood. Okay? Very decent neighborhood. Amor Duffy Festac. So they are still decent. And he was living in a terrace, you know, apartment, terrace duplex, and had four rooms. But there were many in the same complex, you know. So he now called him and said, "Ah, my guy, they were into a particular kind. Why are you living in this kind of place? Why are you living in this kind of place? We are big boys, you know, this doesn't really..." His boss man, he said, "Ah..." He said, "You, where are you living?" He said, "I'm living in, you know, Lekki, you know, all these things." He said, "Okay." He said, "How many rooms is in your district?" He said, "Four rooms." He said, "I have four rooms here too." He said, "Do you have boys quarters?" He said, "I have boys quarters." He said, "I have boys quarters too." And they all talked about it. He said, "Oh, the only difference is that we are terrace, you know, so different people in this complex. Is that your problem?" He said, "Yes." He smiled. And he said, "My friend, I want to talk to you about your house." He started explaining his old friend's house. Explain the gate. Explain. He said, "How much are you paying?" The friend called a ludicrous amount. He said, "That's wonderful." He said, "Can I tell you how much?" Let's say he said, "I'm paying 12 million a year in my duplex." He said, "Wonderful." He said, "Here, I am paying 3.5 a year." He said, "Should I shock you? Let me get that house." Now, he said, "I didn't want to tell you. No, be me send you agent number, we'll get you the house." He said, "Yes." He said, "Now, my agent." He said, "And I have about six of them." He said, "You're paying 12 million. I take 3.5 and pay for my own house where I'm staying. And then I continue building more with the other balance." There is a wisdom you use to create wealth. Wave your hands if you're getting me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right. Let me read you one more scripture. So another, what did I tell you that winter season represents? What's the first one? Old age. What's the second one? Huh? Trials. You know, something happens for people. Just, I mean, when my father, you know, the tale of his life here on earth, you know, was attacked with this terrible cancer. And different things happened. He had to be in the hospital. He had to have surgery. Serious, expensive surgery. Serious, expensive surgery. And then, at the tail, he was going for dialysis because it has affected his kidney. And he had to be on dialysis for a long time. And for his dialysis alone, many years, I'm talking about 2014, so you understand, I was spending about $250,000 a week. That's 2014. 2014. That's not now. You know what? 2014 was Jonathan's time. That's when pack of rice was 8,000 naira. And fuel was 87 naira. Oh, you didn't know that? Fuel was 87 naira. Oh, you didn't know? They don't burn you by then now. If you have not born you by 2014, what are you doing here? Go to children's church. Teenagers' church. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So imagine what 250,000 was then. That's land money. Good land though. I was spending it every week. The man, after some weeks, he told me, he said, "Pastor, what is this? What is this? Will I drain you?" So that was a period. That was a period. Something can happen to people. For example, you saw the fire outbreak in Timba in Calabar, right? People whose goods a man was crying, say everything he borrowed money on TV. Everything, burnt down his machines, everything. He said, I didn't come out with pin. He said, how will I pay the banks? How will I pay? At that moment, that's winter season for him. Nobody prays for it. Nobody wishes that on themselves or on anybody. So wisdom, hear me, is to live your life for the best, but prepare for the worst. Make sure you're prepared. Lift your hands. We are all not opening that window. Declare. Say, no evil comes near my dwelling.
No evil comes near my dwelling.
Declare it again. No evil comes near my dwelling.
No evil comes near my dwelling.
Say, no sword goes through my land. Say, I have peace and rest round about. In the name of Jesus. Let me hear you shout your loudest. Amen. Did you get that? The next thing it stands for is for legacy. Winter season is for legacy. You have to now. You're preparing for winter season. You're preparing for legacy. Okay. Let's read Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20. Put it on the screen for me, please. There is desirable treasure. Watch this. An oil in the land or in the dwelling of the wise. If you go into the house of the wise, there is desirable treasure and oil. But a foolish man squanders it, spends it all. Give me the good news translation, GNT. Hold your neighbor and read. There is something I'm going to teach you. God taught me this many years ago. It's called the mystery of having. Always have. Always have. The mystery of having. Read. Want to go? Wise people live in what? In wealth and what? In wealth and in what? So I'm going to teach you certain things. But stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. If you spend money as fast as you get it, you will never live in wealth and you will never live in luxury. The people who are enjoying their life the most are not the people who are earning the most. It's the people who know how to use money strategically for what matters the most in their lives. You don't have washing machine, but for the past 3 months you have eaten your washing machine. You don't chop them. In fact, you chop 3 washing machines, but you don't have washing machine. Then somebody that is earning less than you, that is not making as much money, when you now go to his house and see washing machine, you feel like the person is living in luxury. But you are making more money, but you don't have washing machine. May God give you sense. May God give you sense. Go to where you packed all your shoes. Packed all your shoes. So many you've not touched. But you say the shoes, that's your Achilles heels. Pastor, you don't. I can say for anything, but just leave shoes. But all those shoes, dirty cotton. Your bed is glorified mat. No bed frame. Your house doesn't look like. But are you understanding what I'm saying? People spend. How is it that you're earning 300,000, 400,000 a month and you don't have a car yet? And I'm talking about clean, decent car. Four plugs. You can even get it as a third hand. Very well used. Saves you fuel. Why? What? You say you're a woman. Pastor, if I have a car as a lady, people won't marry me. Let me tell you, the people that won't marry you, the men you shouldn't marry. Men like Pastor David, that's what will attract me to you. That's what I'm telling you. That you need to be yourself so those who will useless your life will stay away from you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wise men are not looking for liabilities. Wise men are looking for resourceful women. So the richer you look, the more you're attractive. Don't let anybody deceive you. Let me tell you, that thing is old story. Culture don't change. Even in Nigeria don't hunt for a lot of people. People are looking, men are looking for women that have money. Now me, they tell you now. Stay there. There is nothing like Oriaku again. No. It is together, Ako. Together what? Ako. All right. Can you give me the Living Bible translation? If you can, I will be happy. Hold your neighbor. This is the law. Read, one to go. But a foolish sparing. One more time. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Right. To build wealth, you must make a habit of having money that you can use to grow the wealth. Wealth is grown. To build wealth, you must make a habit of having the money that you can use to grow that wealth. You don't hit wealth, you grow it. You build it. It's a process. You can hit money, but you don't hit wealth. So that's it. And savings is the key to having money. No matter, earning is not the key to having money. Savings is. Earning brings money, but whenever money comes with wings, very mature wings. And as it's coming, it's looking for where to fly to. And you think that you're not saving because you don't have more money. Let me explain how this thing works. The more money you make, the more reason you have to spend it. So when income rises, needs rise to meet up with it. Immediately, that's how it is. That's how it goes. So savings is the key to having money. Write this. To save effectively, you must be frugal. There is a difference between being stingy and being frugal. Being stingy is detrimental to building wealth. Being stingy will lead you to poverty. The Bible said there is he that scatters, gives, and increases to wealth. But there is he that withholds more than what is required. So he is stingy. You can't build wealth with a closed fist. Stingy people never get wealth. Never. Frugality is not stinginess. Frugality simply means cutting off waste. You're allergic to waste. There is purpose attached to every money you release. Purpose attached to every money you release. And whenever you're releasing money, you're making sure that you're getting the right value for what you're releasing. And making sure you're not paying a dime more than what you should have paid for that thing. There are a lot of people I meet who buy things. Hear me. Who buy things and spend more money in buying things. In fact, the people I don't like sending to get anything for me or to negotiate any price for me are people who are poor. And I'm not saying it with despising poor people. I love poor people, and that's why I'm pouring out my heart, withholding. You know that the things I'm teaching you, that after this series, I'm going to turn them into trainings and schools. If you want anything, you pay money for consultation. But I'm giving it to you free. Even the places you pay money, you won't get as much details as what I give you. So hear me and hear me very well. It's because I love everybody. I want to draw people who are out there and get you out of that place of financial struggles. Poor people. Why are you pricing like this now? Is it not? Poor people. Poor people, they like retail. Retail. Me, I calculate everything. I have money. Instead of going to buy soap, one, if I buy it in carton, and I buy it one, this carton will last me for 1 year. If I buy it one, because I still will use the soap, I will end up buying that one carton in a year. Every year. How much would I have saved? Poor people spend more money than rich people. Rich people only spend money on luxury. And the reason people don't have luxury is that they have spent it on the little basic things of life. Somebody is driving a car. Put 10 liters for me. As if when the 10 liters finishes, he won't put another 10 liters. And when the other 10 liters finish, he won't put another 10 liters. So the question is, that 30 liters, if you have put it at once, what will happen to the car? The car will drink it more. Many of you don't even know that many mechanical machines consume more energy and fuel when it's getting lower. That when it's fuller, it consumes less. You didn't hear what I said. So every day, put 4 liters. He will come, drive, put another 4 liters. Poverty is a mentality. Fear and lack in the mind. Fear and what? Lack. Every time. So frugality is not stinginess. Frugality is assigning purpose to every money and making sure that there is no wasteful reason why you bring out money. That means anything not necessary, there are things you can do without. Try it for 1 year. You can do it without snacks or mineral. Please, I know there are some of you, that's what the business you do. God will send others that will buy it. You will always have poor people. That's what Jesus said. There will always be poor people. If you're on your way, you're on your way to building wealth, and that's where you need to cut off something to stay. If you remove mineral and snacks for 1 year, let's see if you will die. That's frugality. So to save effectively, you must be what? Frugal. Knowing what is not necessary and cutting off waste. Cutting off waste. The Lord won't allow me to continue. I will see you next Sunday. God bless you. Are you going to cut off waste today? Do you see why I said that I like today's meeting. Because happy Easter, happy Easter, happy Easter. Take the smile. I'm keeping my money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're coming to your house. That's who come. We will do praise and worship. Am I teaching you not to live in luxury? I'm teaching you what should be paying for your luxury. By the mercy of the Lord, some of us have gotten to the stage where even if we decide to do nothing, just this morning now, you know, years of labor, investing. I told you I have three major levels of investment. One is what? Heaven crossed. The other one is what? Human crossed. I don't just invest in myself, I invest in men. Before I came to church, just happy Easter greeting from my sons, both near and far, alone. They don't used to greet me with text message. I don't read text messages that don't come with weight. Words are cheap. Oh, Pastor, you're the most wonderful thing. I just read it. I can't. I said, if I want to do public relations for this sense, I just say, God bless you. Until your words begin to carry weight. Right? The longer it is, even the harder it is for me to even. Don't say too much. Act. If you love me, honor me. If you value me, you must honor. Happy Easter, Daddy. If before I came this morning, if you see the happy Easter, pam 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 pam, happy Easter alone. Just is if there is. You see, you live your life, you've invested and invested, where your living expenses no longer comes from your labor. You didn't hear what I said. And I'm not just talking. The other one is earth crust too. Investments. We're going to take you more into these things. But you must be wise in harvest time. You must be wise. Somebody now comes into ministry and wants to have the same harvest I'm having now. He will steal. He will manipulate the word of God, handle it deceitfully. He will manipulate people. You see the way I talk about giving in church here, right? Yes, because what I was doing was doing heaven investment and human. When you invest in heaven, no matter how, God cannot lie, the windows will be open. Seed time and harvest. When you invest in men, one of the things I learned from the fathers who raised me is, don't raise money, raise men. Hey, God's blessed me with men. Lost sons are the best. If I cough, I say I need something. There are people that go through mountains. Years of empowering people. Years of raising men. So there are things that are not my concern. It's my sons that think of it and try to. Pastor needs this. Pastor is going to. So if you don't do that, years, over 20 years, with patience, prayer, trusting the Lord, with humility, that's how it works. So let them laugh at the quality of hair you're wearing. Just let it be decent and excellent. try to wear the hair. Another woman who has labored, tilled the land, worked on her business, even cultured her husband. Because you can't see a truly great man without seeing a woman by the side. And you can't see a truly great woman without seeing a man by the side. Now she can carry a handbag of $100,000. But you can do that now. Even if you get a lottery of $1 million, don't buy that $100,000 bag. Don't do it now. It's not yet time. It's summertime. The winter is coming. Don't spend it because you're getting it. We are going to stay a little on this because there is a few technicalities in there. I'm going to show you the practicality of it. Because you have a few things that with certain keys, knowledge, that can help you become more disciplined and structured with your finances than you are ready. I want to ask you a question. If the blessing begins to speak now, and somebody comes and says there is a prime property, like this property we have here, the Lord just spoke to me. The man refused to sell it. The man who had the property, keeping it in trust for us, when the fullness of time came, that man, let me tell you what his job is. One of his major businesses is that he has departmental stores, like all the everyday, all those kind of stores. That's the man that bought this property from the original owner. The Lord, we said we want to buy at first because we saw all the work we were going to do. And they said, no, the man has not decided what he will use. The property said, no, he just wants to lease it. So we leased. And we knew we were going to invest a lot of money because it was an abandoned warehouse. All the things you see, apart from the shell, we did everything else. We had to even put up the other buildings. So we leased about 10 years. The Lord said, no, pay 5 years. After 5 years, I will talk to him. He will be ready. Before the end of 5 years, that's what the Lord told me. Before the end of 5 years. So we paid for 5 years. Third year into the lease, the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and says, I have made his right ready. He's about to sell. Look at this property. Go and check from the beginning of Aroma down to here. Is there any other prime property better than here? Go and check. Table land from one street to the next street end. No demarcation. By the time we were talking about, any property on this road was selling between 35 million to 40 million. And the Lord told me, but if I tell you the money they got for this property, we finished, to cut the whole story short, the Lord moved his heart and we got the property for 140 million. The question now is, the Lord told me, I want you to listen. The Lord told me, he said, I have made his heart ready. Call the lawyer. We'll call the lawyer. Say, make an offer. You will pay 50% now. In 1 week. That's what the Lord said. 1 week, 50%. 1 week, 50%. After 3 months, another 25%. After 3 months, another 25%. That means we are going to pay about 73.5 million the first 1 week from the day we made the offer. 3.5 was the legal and agent things, and we're going to pay them all together. Brothers and sisters, when we made the offer, the man said, if you can give me 70 million now, take. The question is, I've come to church, I've told the church, everybody is giving, everybody is making. That was why there was no pressure on you. Because God gave Pastor David wisdom and our ministry team years ago, when our income was 3,000 naira a month. It grew to 100,000 a month. It grew to 300,000. In fact, the first month income of this church in 2003 was 300 naira. That's what they were giving. We sold out 100,000. 100 naira. I gave the treasurer money. We didn't have account when we started. And I gave her 100 naira to go and put in her own savings account. I said, go and save 100. He said, Pastor, how much? I said, save it, 100 naira. From the first month of this church. And we have different kinds. So there was a reserve account that is being, let me keep quiet. So when you hear, give me 70,000, we had it. Give. Because we foresaw tomorrow. We foresaw tomorrow. I'm asking you now, if there is a property worth 50 million and God moves the heart of a man because he wants to give you favor, and he said, give me 5 million now, do you have it? And collect this property, do you have it? That's wealth transfer. You see, when I gave God my first 1 million naira at once, because that was my passion, I wanted to elevate my vision for giving, because I know it's going to affect my harvest. The reason I was able to give that 1 million before I clocked the age of 24, the reason I was able to do that was because I understood this wisdom. I wasn't spending money even to give in a heavy sacrificial way. The reason many can't give is because they don't save. An open door. You have this opportunity. You want to leverage that system in the bank. You apply for a loan. They say, give us 20% of what you want. There is an opportunity you need to facilitate now. Give us 20%. Do you have it? So people who don't have money miss opportunities. And poverty simply means passing over opportunities repeatedly. Lift your hands and begin to magnify the Lord. Thank Him for what He's done. Worship Him. Thank Him for His wisdom. This is spiritual. Come on. Magnify Him. Magnify Him. Magnify Him. Honor Him. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise for your wisdom. This resurrection celebration morning, I pray that there be a quickening and an impartation of your wisdom in our hearts, to strengthen us to be disciplined, to understand the wisdom of frugality, of cutting off wastes, of cutting off things that are not necessary. There is a whole lot that people can live without. And learning the wisdom of habitual savings. To you be all the glory. Our lives become different from today. Lift your hands. Say, I receive grace. Say, I'm empowered to steward the money the Lord brings to me wisely, in Jesus' name. Give God a mighty praise. Come on, you bless Him.